You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's August 7th, 2025, and welcome to episode 144 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news and tales of a Gen X geek, delivered to you in just 15 minutes. Thank you for tuning into the show today. I hope you're all having a great week so far. On this episode, I'm going to be talking about the indie game End Roger. But once again, we start the show by checking out some of the gaming news from the past week. And it sounds like PlayStation 5 owners who were hoping to play Bethesda's space RPG Starfield this year will have to wait a little bit longer if rumors are to be believed. This story is coming from the website MP First, who I'm personally not familiar with, but it was shared on Video Game Chronicles, so they seem to trust the source. So it states that Microsoft has pushed back the PS5 port of the game until the spring of 2026 due to the lackluster, let's say, reception to the game's Shattered Space expansion, which came out in September. The story claims that the plan now is to release the game on PlayStation to coincide with a big update to the game and the release of its second story DLC. Starfield launched in 2023 and was a pretty solid hit for Bethesda. It got a 83 on OpenCritic, and by late last year, they had passed over 15 million players across Xbox and PC. So, and I placed it at number 5 on my top 10 games of 2023. I really liked the exploration and the ship customization, which really I got super addicted to. I'm sure Xbox is, you know, counting on this being the next big PS5 hit for them. Recent reporting from Matt Piscatella over at Circana shows that in between April and July of this year, Microsoft was actually the top publisher on PlayStation, holding 6 spots on the top 10 best-selling games on the PlayStation 5, which is just kind of wild, with Forza Horizon 5 and Oblivion being at the top of that list. And they still have Gears of War Reloaded and The Outer Worlds 2 launching on PlayStation later this year. So the strategy seems to be paying off in a big way for them. And I think that we'll see more and more games launching either, you know, day and date with Xbox or shortly after the Xbox release. And hopefully all this success means that Xbox developers will actually get to keep their jobs. Crazy though, huh? So if you've been listening to Midlife Side Quest for a while now, or, you know, from one of my former shows, you probably know, you know, by now if our tastes in games align. I like games with strong narratives, whether that's a big AAA blockbuster or a small little indie game. So if you know that you generally like the same types of games that I do, if you trust my recommendations, then do me a favor and go on to Steam or pick up your Switch and download End Roger. I want you to do that for 3 reasons. Number one is I really think that this game is pretty special. Number two, it's only $5. So that's, you know, kind of a no-brainer. And number three is that with a game like this, it's pretty much impossible to discuss it without giving things away. And this is a game that is absolutely best experienced with little or no knowledge about it beforehand. So we're just going to have to use the trust system here. You know, go ahead, pause this podcast and go play the game. It's only an hour long. So I'm going to sit back and wait right here until you get back. All right. Okay. You're back. You played it. All right, good. Let's talk about it. End Roger is an interactive narrative game, a bit like a visual novel, but there are things that you need to do, gameplay mechanics to progress the story. After you press start, the game asks you a series of simple questions, the kind that you would answer if you were logging onto a website for the first time. You know, enter your name, how did you hear about us, which of these squares has a building in it, but something's off. There's something not quite right about the questions. Some of the answers in a multiple choice question just seem out of place, and the button to move on to the next screen doesn't quite work the first couple of times you press it. And you know, you might first think that maybe this game is, you know, maybe it was a bit rushed and they've got some patches, some bugs to work out, but maybe it's something else though. As the game itself begins, the main character, Sophia, wakes up in bed, staring up at the ceiling fan. Her brain is in a fog. She's trying to gather her thoughts. She's hungry. She's late for school. You tap A repeatedly to get her to force herself to sit up and sit on the side of the bed. She looks at the clock on the wall to check the time, but all of the hands, they all look the same. You can't tell which is the minute hand and which is the hour hand. She eventually drags herself to the bathroom to go brush her teeth, and the game gives you four buttons around the screen to use to do this, but they aren't labeled. You don't know which one does what, so you just kind of press them randomly to figure it out, and she's fumbling around trying to turn on the water, open the toothpaste, put toothpaste on the brush. But why is it so difficult? You know, why is it hard to do something so seemingly simple? Then as she goes downstairs to see her dad, she gets upset to see a strange man sitting on the couch that she doesn't know. Who is this guy? Why is he in their house? And why is he acting like he knows her? She tries to dial 911, but keeps hitting the wrong buttons on the phone. You know, 191, 511, 915. And she's frustrated and scared and confused. And as the player, it's confusing and frustrating too. You know what you're supposed to be doing, but nothing is acting like it's supposed to. The game isn't behaving in the way that you know that it should. And that is the brilliance of And Roger. Eventually, you know, you piece together what this story is actually about and the experience that it was trying to make you feel. Sophia has an early form of dementia. She gets confused easily. She struggles sometimes to perform the most basic of tasks, and she doesn't recognize the face of her own husband sitting there on the couch. The way in which the game makes you feel the way that Sophia must feel, you know, by creating a sense of confusion with, you know, unresponsive controls and purposefully unclear objectives, you know, you get confused and frustrated, and it's kind of genius, and it's also terrifying. Getting dementia is like one of my greatest fears. Forgetting who you are, who your family is, it's hard to imagine anything worse than that. It runs in my family. And, you know, there are moments as I'm getting older where, you know, I stop unable to think of the name of somebody who I'm talking to, who I have worked with for years. And I wonder if that will be my fate one day. You know, I've played plenty of games that fill me with fear, plenty of scary games, but almost none of them have made me feel the kind of like deep, true fear that this game did. And although, you know, the subject matter of the game is upsetting and scary, it's really also a story about love. Sophia's husband tries his best to take care of her as her condition gets worse. He calms her down when she's confused and angry. He cleans up when she accidentally makes a mess. But, you know, he also makes mistakes. He gets frustrated and he loses his temper. And it's hard to imagine the toll that it would take on someone to see their loved one slowly forget who they are, or the toll, just the toll that it takes on a relationship. But the game really does an amazing job of telling the story in a very true and raw way. You know, they don't sugarcoat the hardship that so many families go through every day. But on top of all the tears and the sadness and the anger, there is a tremendous amount of love. And, you know, the 60 minutes that you spend with Roger and Sophia will stay with you for a very long time. Last weekend, the family and I drove up to Duluth. We did some sightseeing. You know, we went and saw the lighthouse and we went out to eat. But the main reason we went up there was to tour a school with Charlie. Like a college. Oh, man. First of all, it's weird that once he begins college, he will officially have a higher level of education than I do. You know, that's odd. Second, though, I just can't wrap my head around the fact that my kid, my first child, my baby boy, is nearly an adult and could be moving away to school next fall. God, it was only yesterday that he was jumping around in his little bouncy chair in the living room and crying as he stood up on stage at his preschool graduation because he was so terrified and shy, or, you know, competing in math masters or taking swim lessons or going trick-or-treating or just being a kid. You know, how is he not a kid anymore? Now, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love seeing him turn into a fully formed human with strong opinions and passions and interests. I think we did a fairly decent job raising him, and it's been very rewarding to see that all come together. But the world is big and ugly and scary and mean, and sending him off into that is slightly terrifying. But, you know, it's also beautiful and incredible and full of amazing people and experiences. So I'm excited for him to go and see all that. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I really appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, be well and happy gaming.